Blog Talk Radio.
Coming at you live and kicking, singing, dancing, every 1 o'clock on Wednesday afternoon. Beautiful Wednesday.
Oh, finally.
You know, there's such bad weather in the Midwest. You hear about the tornadoes.
Yeah.
I mean, I was watching that.
They always get those kind of weather, that kind of weather.
This is
just like scary,
early,
you know?
Earlier for them than usual from what they're saying. But it's
when is the right time?
You know, it's funny because you look at those things and I always said, and I said to you, that I would love to be one of those tornado chasers.
Yeah,
I think that would be like
I would love that.
Sexy in a way.
Yeah.
And you just like just so up close to Mother Nature at her
sexy
most
and scary.
Diabolical, exactly. And all
be
the glory
and
her beauty, yeah. But it's just if you know you're safe.
Yeah.
If you know you're safe. But obviously the people that have lost their homes and God forbid their lives.
And hopefully they have good insurance.
Yeah, you know, but it's funny because there, I'm wondering, I mean, that's an act of God, so I don't know
I'm
the
sure
causes.
If it has
to
do with their house, they would get insured.
You know, I've heard so many horror stories of how, you know, it falls into this category.
Let's not worry about that.
We're
right
not going to worry about this. We got enough on our plate.
That's it.
Enough to worry about. Welcome, people. Thank you for joining us once again. And today, first let me wish everybody who is celebrating Happy Mother's Day, belated Happy Mother's Day. I thought that it was a perfect spinning point for this week's show, the complexity of that mother-daughter relationship. You know, idealically, people look at it as everybody wants the
perfect.
I think every gender, you know that the part of the song, I can't remember the name of the song now, but we will raise a family, a girl for you, a boy for me. And that's, I think, every parent wants to see their reflection in
their children.
Their children, and of course having a little girl that you know,
right,
is just going to carry on in your ways and your temperament is, you know, I think what most mothers would want, most fathers would want that in a little boy, but it doesn't always happen exactly as planned, as life usually doesn't.
Not at all.
And I think that's what has to be explored, because Mother's Day was a festive occasion for a lot of people. And for other reasons, other than maybe not having your mom with you, it wasn't pleasant,
yeah,
for a lot of people. So
it's a nice day to remember her for.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, but you know, like I said,
you always remember the good things she's done.
Right.
You know, you never remember the, you know, turbulent relationships or anything. You just remember the good,
and
you know, good memories.
I always say that's where, if your mother passed, I think that's where death is kind, because
mm-hmm.
it forces you to look at things with different eyes.
Right.
You only see the good. You forget about the throwing things against the wall. You forget,
yeah,
about the yelling, storming,
yelling,
you know, running
big
out of the
fight
house.
You had.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
And that's how we should
running
live.
Away.
Yeah. That was, yeah. now you're reading off my script. But I think that's what we should do just in daily living. Just look at the people that are in our lives and just remember only the good and just let the bad go. Because, you know, we see at times like this that it really doesn't come up in quick memory, you know, after the person is no longer there. So that's what we're going to be discussing today with our panelists that will be joining us in
a little bit,
a few minutes. But first, I turn to my lovely co-host.
Who?
And that still might be at the parquet. No. If you think Chiffon. If you think it's, I had to do the song in my head to get that right.
If you think it's butter,
but it's
not.
It's
chiffon.
And also, chiffon. Wait a second. It's not nice to fool Mother Nature. It was right?
Yes.
So they use that harp for different things. Anybody who's under 30 would not understand what we're saying.
Exactly.
Absolutely. go get something from the fridge. Go make yourself a cup of coffee.
We'll search it on YouTube.
We'll bring it back to speak to you in a couple of seconds. But I turn to the lovely Lee Ziegelman. Oh, Madonna, again.
And?
But no, darling.
And who else is with me? The wonderful Lori Tower.
Well, that's lovely. That's very,
there you go.
Dear of you.
I saved it for you.
That is dear of you.
Let's move on.
But I wanted to ask you.
What?
How are you? I wanted to ask
you my name.
No.
It's Elite Ziegelman.
It's embedded. It's embedded, believe me. But
I'm great. I'm very good.
Yeah.
Very good. I had a wonderful Mother's Day.
Very good.
Yes.
Very nice. Very, as it should be. It's funny. I was saying to you on Mother's Day that I remember 1972. I was 10 years old, and I remember that day. My mother also was telling me, you know, the coronation.
Yes.
Okay. She was letting me know as people passed. You could tell by the coronation if they had their mothers in their lives.
Oh, wow.
Or if they had just their grandmas. They represented something. And if you wore, I believe it was. Pink? No, red means you had both your grandmother and your mother alive. And the ones that were pink had, you know, I think
and
a white
black
meant,
was.
I think
nothing,
white
nobody
meant
was around.
They both were gone. I don't see them anymore, but,
no,
but I remember growing up, they were very, very prominent. And I remember my mother saying to me, you know, if you had to wear a carnation today, you would wear red because you have your mother and you have your grandmother alive, and you're lucky. You know, and I remember that very, very clearly. And of course, aggravating her on Mother's Day, you know, singing
just Mother's
and
Day.
Well, it was just
Christmas,
you know,
Day, New Year's Day, Halloween.
Well, it was a day that
every day.
Yeah, I woke up and it happened.
That's
you
it.
Know, I opened my eyes and there you were. But
poor thing.
And on, and you're carrying that cross now, right? That's what you're thinking. Mm. But and I remember it very well. We went to see Soylent Green. Remember that movie?
No.
1972. It was Charlton Heston.
I wasn't born yet.
Yeah. It was a really, really, and I remember going in. There was a hot day. It was like 90 degrees.
They didn't have air conditioning?
No, they did. And the theater was cool, but walking back out, we went to like a matinee.
It hit you in the face.
Yeah. And coming out, and that just goes to show you, Mother's Day's.
Usually all warm. Yeah. Usually all warm.
Quite,
we just haven't, it's funny, we had a really warm winter. And then we had a cold spring.
Yeah.
You know? And hopefully it's summer's here, because that's what happens.
Summer's
we don't get
supposed
spring.
To be a very
you know?
Hot one. And
yeah.
a very dry one this year.
Hopefully.
So.
We had a lot of rain.
Well, yeah. Well, we didn't get a lot of snow, so hopefully. Well, we're not going to get it now, dog.
Who knows?
We're not going to get it now. But interesting, you know, to segue to our
show.
Discussion today. Over the weekend, I was watching TCM, and they usually. Pretty on the mark with having, you know, specific shows to commemorate the holiday.
Mm-hmm.
And they had I Remember Mama, which is a tearjerker. And they also had, and anybody who's seen this movie, I think I've told you about it. I don't know if you've ever seen it, Imitation of Life. If you don't cry, if you're not wailing when you see this movie,
you have no
blood in your veins. Mm. It just is, it's a wonderful movie, and it hits on a lot of different topics. It's certainly has its racial divide feature to it, but it really is just the not mother daughter not getting each other sequence to it.
Well,
so.
I don't think mothers and daughters get each other to begin with, you know, and I don't think it really happens. I mean, actually, Mirav just told me yesterday that she read an article that that they really don't know. You know, themselves will grow into their brain until they're 26. So, and I believe that.
Yeah.
You know, I really do believe that because it's so turbulent, the relationship between a mother and a daughter, because the daughter always thinks that the mother wants her to be like her.
Yeah.
But it's really not like that. We just want the best for them.
Yeah.
You know?
It's
I don't want them to be like me. Who says they don't be like me?
It's, you know, it's really tough because it's all those high expectations on each other's part.
Yes.
You know, it's
right.
It's, you know, you want your mother to be proud of you, and you think that if you don't go the course of her events, she won't be.
Right.
It's, you know, and the truth is, mothers and daughters are just two different individuals. And I always say, two individuals that are born, obviously, into the same bloodline that might not get along if they weren't connected.
Mm-hmm.
It's a beautiful thing when it happens and, you know, you adore your mother and you have that relationship. And I think that that does exist and it's a beautiful thing.
Oh, it sure does. I've seen it.
But I don't know if it happens instantaneously. I don't know if it's something that is a natural outgrowth of just being born to a person. But I think it's something that can be cultivated. But then sometimes it's like, you know.
Sometimes it can't.
You know, when I look at my mother, and my mother's passed many years, and adored her, there were no two women that were less alike than she and I. I mean, my mother was Jackie O, you know, not glasses.
For you.
And no. And gloves.
She was big with those long... I'm sure if gloves were in play right now, you'd be wearing them.
I don't know. She was, you've seen pictures of her. Very different woman. Very, very...
elegant.
A ladies' lady. Yeah,
right, elegant.
Yeah. And that was absolutely fine. That was never me. And I think the nicest thing that I ever got from her, and I still have the card, was, oh, my God, probably 1992 or something. And we had, you know... Certainly, we had our baggage, and we had butt heads. But then we came to a, you know,
as you got older, though, right?
And just realized, hey, you know, there were things about her that I adored, and vice versa, hopefully. And she gave me this card that said, "We're very different women, but I love you." And I just thought it was like one of those specialty cards.
Mm-hmm.
And that meant everything to me because it was the acceptance that I needed because I knew I was different. And not only didn't look like her, but in every way I was different than her. So I think that children and the parents too need to get that from the child. It's not always just the mother or the elder being knowledgeable of this is important.
Mm-hmm.
I think the kids should also make it apparent to the parent that, you know, I love you for who you are. When you're of the age to
have
the
thing.
Wisdom.
You have to grow into that.
Yeah, you don't have the wisdom at 14. But I think
Nor, I don't even think at 21. I'm telling you. I think it's going to be like 25 and above. I really do.
And I think that it also helps when you have your own children. And I remember my mother always said, you'll know what it feels like when you have your own. And I think you have to also experience that to understand what it's like when you come home late and your mother can't go to sleep because you know, until everybody's in the house,
mm-hmm.
you know. So I think that's you know, it's look, fathers and sons have the same thing.
Man.
You know, it's not just, but it's.
Fathers and daughters have a different thing.
Daddy's little girl.
Exactly.
Well, I think there's, you know, I always say fathers kind of get the short end of the stick. Father's Day, you get the. You know, you have less traffic on the roads, and you get the tie. But on Mother's Day, I think...
And they barbecue.
and they barbecue. Yeah, they barbecue.
Only because, listen, the mothers do everything during the day.
No. But what I'm saying is I think that people really make a bigger deal of the mother.
The mother is the captain of the ship, I'm sorry to say.
Well,
okay?
But not
That's
only that.
That's what runs the house.
But not only in that way. In the way that, I mean, think about this. The first thing that you're asked, what you uncover when you're in therapy,
it's
is your
mother.
Relationship with your mother.
It's the first thing they ask
because
you.
Because that's the first...
Mm-hmm. Tell me about your relationship with your mother.
The first means of social intercourse that you had was with your mother.
Mm-hmm.
The first imprint on your soul is your mother.
Exactly.
So
that's who she...
And that's it.
Brought you to this world.
That's exactly right. And as nurturing as some fathers could be, and believe me, there are many that are wonderful and nurturing.
I think everybody still needs their mother.
Yeah. There's just... Or
who do you turn to when you're sick all the time? If your mother's, you know, around.
Of
your
course.
Mama.
Of course. It's always... Hopefully. Hopefully. Then, again, we're going to be discussing that disenfranchised, you know, group of people that have...
Yeah.
These horrible relationships with their mothers.
It's funny. I saw the Mother's Day movie. I told you, Snatched.
Yeah.
It was a very funny movie.
You liked it,
right? I liked it
mm-hmm.
a lot. But I see the relationship between the character Goldie Hawn
mm-hmm.
played and Amy Schumer. Me and my daughter so similar to that. You know.
Yeah.
It was just really funny. It was a very good funny movie, but a great Mother's Day movie.
Yeah,
you know?
And that's it. Was a perfect release.
It's
I think
a
that
great
was, yeah.
Mother's Day movie.
They timed it perfectly. So that
yeah.
and if you looked on Facebook that day, everybody. Everybody's, I'm taking my mom or I'm taking my sister or whatever. You can just have gone.
But it's so funny because in the movie there's, she also had a brother.
Oh, did she? Okay.
And they had, he had a, was it a, Arachnophobia, when they are afraid to go outside?
Agoraphobia.
Agoraphobia. I was thinking about the spider one.
Arachnophobia, yeah. Why do I know the phobias? But
right.
I don't. Okay.
But he had agoraphobia.
Yeah, yeah.
So when she came home to visit that day, he was there, and he was like, you know, it was all about the mother, you know, the mother, mother,
sure.
Mother. But he called her Mama, Mama, Mama. He was like a nerd. It was so hysterical. Mama,
who
Mama.
Who played it?
I can't tell you. Hmm. But if you saw him, you know who he was.
Okay. Okay.
But it was just too funny.
Yeah, that was supposed to be.
But mother was everything to him, you know?
Yeah. And Goldie Hawn was good in that, huh?
Yeah, very good.
Well, she's got
very
great
good.
Comedic
Mama.
Timing. Yeah.
Yeah. It was very good. Well, very funny. A great laughing movie.
Well, that's...
From the beginning to the end.
I think that's a nice way to celebrate if you were lucky enough to go with your mother.
Right.
Or go with your daughter. I think you're sharing...
It's funny because a lot of people that were
laughter.
In the movies with the mothers and the daughters.
Yeah.
You know,
oh, that's
together.
Nice. Oh, that's nice.
So
who do we have on deck?
I think we have Winter, and I think it's Mirov waiting on deck. I think Patty's missing.
Patty's missing. That's
yeah.
odd. Okay, let's bring them on. Patty should be joining us in a couple of seconds, I'm sure.
Winter, are you there?
I sure am.
All right, let me bring
How
on
are
Mirov.
You?
I'm good.
Mirov, is that
Hi.
You?
Bonjour.
Bonjour.
Coming from
darling?
France, no less.
Oh, yeah. Straight from the Eiffel Tower. On top.
How are you? Happy belated Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day, both of you.
Both of you.
Wait, thank you very much. Oh, my God. I'm so sorry.
Oh, that's your dog? We thought it was Winter's new dog.
the landscaper just rang the doorbell.
Elite, thank you for that amazing review on Snatched, because James and I really wanted to see it.
Oh, you got to go see it.
The reviews weren't very good.
I know. That's
so
what Lori said, but
to
it's
go and
really.
See it now.
If you, did
I'm
you see Trainwreck?
To hear that. We did, and we loved it, and we're fans.
And then you're
going to
love this movie even better.
Oh, I'm so excited. Okay, great. Because
really
Goldie Hawn is, she's like a very cool actress, but she's a kind of a role model mom.
Oh,
so
yeah,
I just
definitely.
Wanted to see, you know, she's successful, she's famous, yet she's close
yeah.
with her daughter. And
yep.
I really wanted to see it. And I'm so glad that you guys gave it a good review because
really, go
we
see
were
it. I'm
going to
bring
okay,
Patty on right now.
Patricia.
Hello.
Patty, you there? Hello.
I am here. How is everybody?
Hello.
How
are
you?
Hello.
Hi, Patricia. How are you?
The rest of the cast of characters, yeah?
What's that?
You know the rest of the cast of characters, right? We don't need to introduce you to
Winter. Oh, yeah. Hi, everybody. Nice to be with you again.
Beautiful.
Hi, Patricia. Same here.
Yes. Hi. So which movie were you just talking about? I just logged in.
Snatched with Goldie Hawn and Amy Schumer.
Oh, okay. Good to know.
Oh,
I thought that's what you were talking about.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
Very, very funny. Definitely worth to go see.
Well, I love them both, you know, both
yeah.
stars. So it's like a double your pleasure, I guess.
Yeah, and like I said
that's
earlier, it's just like it's almost similar to me and my daughter's relationship because it's all about the new, you know, the social media and all that stuff because that's all they do right now, and she's always on social media. So it's,
yeah.
you know, and then the mother, even though I'm more advanced than Goldie Hawn was, but it's pretty funny. You got to watch it. You got to see
it.
All
right, definitely. I'll take your lead.
Yes.
And now we're going to take a sharp left turn
yeah.
after that.
Okay.
Now we discussed the happier end of the equation of mother-daughter, you know, relationship as far as, you know, being cohesive and laughable and so on and so forth. But I wanted to hit the other end of the spectrum, and Patty has a piece that she's going to read, and I think that's going to be a beautiful segue to an open discussion on the other side of the
right.
equation.
And we'll give everybody
and
a shot.
Get everybody. Yeah, it's going
right.
to be like artwork. It's going to be subjective, and everybody's going to discuss their
right.
feelings or their reflection in that. Okay, Patty, whenever you're ready.
Okay, I will read this. Just a little opener is that I had a very love-hate tempestuous relationship with my mother, which you could tell from this, and it just expresses the darker side of the mother-daughter situation. It's called Mother. Mother, mother, I fear your love. I hate your fear. You pierce my heart with a single look. Don't stare at me so hard. Just see. Hold me in your hand like a china flower. Don't drop me. Don't break me. I'll cut your hands and leave you bleeding with shattered pieces. When you push, I'll shove back. That's the dance when love attacks. You want to speak, I won't hear. I want to talk, the words aren't clear. Don't try to bring me to my knees. Hold me in your hands like a fragile doll. See how pretty I can be. Just remember, I have teeth that bite. Silence is your best defense, hitting the mark every time. But in the game of pretense, you'll never see my wounds. I won't roll on my belly and show my throat. I'd rather fight to the death. Love me, so I'll leave you. I'm afraid to need you. Just love me. Just love me.
Wow. That's
now, that is probably...
It was beautiful,
yeah.
Patty.
Definitely,
yeah.
Deserve a round of applause.
And heartbreaking.
For that is probably the most honest, the bravest. I mean, and most of us don't want to, you know, express anything like that in text.
Mm-hmm.
Patty, I just want to ask before we go to the panelists, what age did you write that?
I wrote that in reflecting on my mom just a couple of years ago.
Okay.
You know, I always have memories pop up, you know, at certain times of the year, and I was musing, and actually I was thinking about a relationship of somebody else I know who was having a tough time, a teenager who was having a tough time with their mother. That kind of mirrored what I'd been going through, and so I just was like sitting with my feelings and expressing them and wanting to also write it to share with her so she'd know that, you know, this is not abnormal and that there's life after this, and it's perfectly acceptable to have those conflicted feelings. And one thing I was really quite pleased and honored about was I shared it with a friend of mine who he said it reminded him a bit of John Lennon's song Mother, and that it was very unsentimental.
I don't know if you're familiar with the song, Elite, but it's just, I mean, in its primal screaming.
Right, yeah.
I mean,
right,
even,
that was his primal scream phase,
Yeah, and it's just, and the reason I asked you what age is, because Elite and I, before you guys came on, were trying to figure out when it is that we get our parents and we forgive them for what they, we praise them for what they are, forgive them for what they weren't, and at what age we get that, the insight. You know, that's why I wanted to know at what age that was penned.
It was really on reflection. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, there's one, that part about, love me so I'll leave you. I think that is a pretty key element to mother and children, not just daughter, because part of a parent's job is to nurture the children and then let them go. Don't keep trying to control them.
Yeah,
and that's
probably,
I mean, not being a mom, you guys can, I would imagine that's one of the harder things, one of the hardest tasks a parent has.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I guess we'll ask Mira first because she's got a daughter and she's away in college. And how was it for you? What does the poem mean to you?
Oh, wow. Like, my heart beats so hard now.
I know. I knew it was going to touch you.
Yeah, because, you know, my relationship with my mom, I am still working on the forgiveness part, the accept her the way she is part, because logically, I know she did and she's still doing the best that she can, because we all know that when you know better, you do better.
Mm-hmm.
But still, it's so difficult because as a mom, I can see, and it's funny because when I was growing up, you know, this is all I knew. So I kind of like accepted it, even though, you know, at my friends' houses, their parents were always nicer and more welcoming than my mom. But it's kind of like, you know, this is your life, and then you learn to accept it. And I remember when I met my husband at 19, and I met his family, that they're very, very together and, you know, real family.
it felt like a burden. It was like almost too much for me to take because I'm not used to all this family culture.
Wow.
And I tried to convince him that I am totally fine with the way my life is going and I'm used to it. And part of it is my mother is trying to, you know, show me how to be independent and this blah, blah, blah. But then when I turned to be a mom, this is when everything started to sink in.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where the resentment rose.
Yeah.
And the more the time goes by for me, I feel like I'm going in reverse because I'm more resentful towards her today than I used to be when I was, you know, in my teen years or, you know, growing up the same household.
You're mature now.
But
you've had kids.
She's looking at it
differently.
Right.
Now.
She's looking at
it
from the parent's
eye. It's just that, you know, you kind of like, you know, in a way you feel bad for yourself of all the things you missed. Like the childhood was kind of like almost like a missed opportunity. Because I see myself with, you know, with my kids now, and obviously I'm trying to compensate, you know, from what I didn't get. But it's just, it's so difficult. It's so difficult to forgive and forget and accept. But you know what? It's a work in progress.
It's a work in progress,
And I'm working on it. And I just want to piggyback on what Patty said about, I think Patty said that, about letting our kids go, you know, teaching them to be, you know, independent and letting them go. I just, one of my Mother's Day postings for one of my clients was.
Right. I actually brought up before you came on about you telling me that the brain doesn't really develop until the age of 26. Did you
Yeah,
that
that's a scientific,
wow.
Yeah, that's a scientific fact.
Right.
That the brain
right.
is not fully developed until the 26. And
26.
I don't know how it works for you, but for me, it brings so much relief.
Me too.
I don't question my kid anymore.
Exactly.
And what made it, on my end, what made it a bit difficult was the resolution or bringing it to a different level. There was no opportunity for that because my mom passed away when I was 20.
Yeah.
So there was a lot of unfinished business and things that needed to be spoken and discussed.
And you take
as
that into your adulthood.
Yeah.
It holds on to you,
And what's interesting is when I wrote The Right Side of 40, there was a very, and my introduction is really quite revealing. I mean, I obviously couldn't interview myself, but, you know, I put my personal statements in the introduction. And one very astute editor who reviewed the book, it hit me over the head like a ton of bricks because it was like totally something I hadn't thought about. But she said, she expressed that it was like a love letter to my mother.
That was I love that part.
Yeah. Because I, you know, talk about my relationship with her and how I wish we knew each other as, you know, women, women to women, not like, you know, the 20-year, you know, young person, you know, struggling with issues. And I'm sure she struggled with hers too. I just don't know what they were.
Exactly. So, you know, in essence, it's singular healing. I mean, she's not here to heal it with you, but you know what? You go through the process, you're including her in it, and, you know, you have to make resolution. But when your mother goes that young and you don't get a chance to have the, you know, I'm sorry I said this, sorry I said that, it's tough. And the burden's on you to saw through it.
Right.
Now, Winter, you have little ones, so you're bringing
something different
to the table.
Wow.
Yes, I think that that I, too, really saw I love my mother dearly. I think that none of us are perfect, and it's impossible what is perfection. So she certainly, you know, wasn't the perfect mom, but she was a very loving mom. But I didn't really understand everything until I became a mother, and I was like, wow, we're just people. We're just regular people trying to navigate through the world with whatever we've been through, and then we have a child. And, you know, when you're little, you kind of think of your mom as like superhuman almost. And so you may not you just look at them in a different way. You may not understand. You have no idea at first that they're a separate person from you almost. I think at first I thought everything revolved around me, and now as a mom I'm like, yep, okay. So she probably had a lot going on during this time period, and I think that I learned a lot of forgiveness and more respect than I even had for my mom, because I realized it's tough to put aside your own thing and to just love your, as you so beautifully put, just love me. Just be there, be nurturing, be supportive. Let this being grow into what they, you know, with guidelines, of course, and with boundaries, what are they like? Who are they? Accept them. Give them that confidence without being judgmental or having expectations. So that's really what it's been my experience thus far. And I have to tell you that my daughter couldn't be more different from me. And here I was, I thought I would have like a little dancer girl and I, you know, she'd be taking classes and we'd have a lot of stuff in common, but I have a tomboy and she's introducing me to all kinds of things. So I'm like, okay, you know, I'm learning from a little child.
Take her as she is. Don't change her.
I am.
That's it.
And it's amazing. It's a journey, but I think that my relationship with my mother has always been good. It's just on a different level becoming a mother myself.
Right.
I have more appreciation.
Well,
you know, the journey
do,
is it's challenging. So I think that hopefully we do the best that we can and we make mistakes.
There's no manual, you know, in motherhood.
No.
No.
You
know? No, there's not. And, you know, one of you said, which my neighbor once said to me, she said, Winter, if you keep doing everything for your son, what if, God forbid, you're no longer here? What is he going to do?
Yeah.
She's like, I know you think you're being such a great mom by just doing everything for him, but he can't do anything himself.
Yeah.
And she's a good enough friend that she could say that to me. And I realized, wow, you know, part of our job is to allow these people to
give you some
be
insight.
People on their own.
Yeah.
And to be independent. And that is a
I would imagine
go.
One of the hardest things is the day that your kid takes their first solo drive in a car.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
oh,
that's
yeah.
got to be terrifying.
I can't even imagine. I can't even imagine. Or waiting up when they're out with friends. You know,
oh,
I
forget it.
Try.
Forget it. But Mirav was going to say something about her Mother's Day posting was about when you raise kids and they become very independent by themselves.
Yeah.
Is when you know you did a good job.
Did a good job.
Right?
Yeah, it's actually a quote from Barbara Kingsolver that says, kids don't stay with you if you do it right. It's the one job, the better you are, the more surely you won't be needed in the long run.
It's so true.
Mm.
So true.
Well, you know, it's hard for me to gauge. I mean, because I look at my mother very different, not having kids, because I don't. But I always say this. I know I might resent the amount of mistakes, the mistakes that my mother made. However, I'm sure I would make the same amount of mistakes, just different.
Oh, yeah.
And that's
right.
really
different.
It. So that yes. gives me peace. I would make the same amount, I'm sure, applied very differently.
Right. But they give you a foundation.
I don't even think as what my mother did. Well, with my mother, it's a totally different story because she's still the same. It's not like she made mistakes and she changed and things are better now. That's the one problem I have with reaching, you know, a resolution or trying to amend with her, because she's just the same person. I had endless discussions with her. Some of them were very open, raw, and painful, trying to explain to her, you know, how I feel, and I'm not the only person. I have two other sisters that we all feel the same, and she, for the life of her, she just cannot understand what's wrong. So it's not like, you know, if it's something that happened in the past, I would be able to put it aside and just move on with my life, but I can't because it's the same thing. It's the same thing that you know, I experienced as a child, I'm experiencing with her today. So it's just, it's so very difficult. But I don't see what she did as mistakes because, I don't know, maybe if she had different kids, it will work. Like Winter said, like we're all people at the end of the day. And
yeah.
The
do
same
your sisters
way I
have
would...
the same issues with her that you do?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, not only my sister, like the whole family, even my grandparents, like... And it's just that, you know, it's very difficult because, like I said, if there were things that happened in the past and would have stayed in the past, I would be fine with it because, again, we all, you know, make mistakes. We all turn sometimes the wrong turns, but we try to kind of like, you know,
make
steer back. Yeah, but with her, it's just that she's stuck in her ways and she thinks
well,
that
she
her way...
Well, she doesn't see the bad, right. She doesn't see the bad. She just thinks it's her way or no way, and that's that.
Exactly. Yeah,
yeah.
Exactly. She just thinks it's right, and that's it. It just came to the point that a few years ago, and I'm not an anxious person at all. I just had an anxiety attack because just from talking to her over the phone, and she lives in Israel, by the way. Not even living... Yeah. And then I said to myself, okay, that's really starting to get to me physically and mentally, and I have to take a break. And I told her, I need air. I literally need air. And I've been on a break, I don't know for how many years now, and I just, it feels right.
Yeah.
I don't feel guilty doing it because I'm just, I'm better now, not
yeah.
having her... Mm. In my life, I'm still very cordial with her. You know, when I go to Israel, I see her.
Yeah.
You know, I call her for her birthday, for holidays, but it's like cordial, like, you know, like a neighbor.
Like
yeah.
a stranger, yeah.
Well,
but
like,
you're
yeah.
taking care of yourself, and that is so
yeah.
important. And,
yeah.
you know, somehow you got that strength, and I think that that's something to really be proud of. I think that we're more peaceful human beings if we have, like, the type of relationship that it sounds like that you have with your mother now is working for you, and there's not as much animosity because you took the distance, and that probably gives you a better experience in life, and that's great that you were able to do it. I think
yeah.
Between...
Well, they say you can pick your friends, you don't pick your family. You're kind
of
thrust.
Of course.
Into
yeah.
your family.
Oh,
so, you know, friends are an option. Somebody you find out is a jerk or not for you, you let them go with family.
You can pick your friends, but you
you're,
can't pick
you're
your...
stuck with them in a way, but yet coming from a mature adult standpoint, you can set
yeah.
boundaries, you can set limits, and you can
yeah.
distance yourself as much as or as you need to. And that
yeah.
I think that's a healthy, that's very healthy.
Yes. Well, that speaks to my point before when I said it's completely respectable to say, you know, that you might have a parent that you might not necessarily like as a person.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
to feel guilted into saying, well, you know, that's your father, that's your mother, you have to love them. Not necessarily.
Right.
You
could love them, but
you
can't like
them.
You
love them out of respect, out of the you know, the history that you have between you two. But as a person, you could just say, you know
you
what?
You don't like them.
If I didn't know this person, I would never try to cultivate a relationship.
Right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's okay to say.
True.
Yeah.
True.
I think it's fine. I think it's also what we can do. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I try to take the best qualities of the mother or whatever family member. This happens to be the mother.
Mm-hmm.
I focus on their best qualities.
Absolutely.
And I try to engage in activities that bring those qualities. And the things that are different for me or that don't work for me or that impact me in a negative way, I also take space. So I think that can be a way of, because it's not a friend, you know, and there's sometimes that you have to find ways to relate to your mother or your family member.
Of course, yeah.
And if you can just focus on the good stuff and the bad stuff, and if there's nothing good, maybe you're just like, okay, gave me a house and food and there's something in me.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
your DNA, and celebrate all the great things about you.
Well, that's
yeah,
that's,
absolutely, absolutely. And
that's why I usually tell people that are like habitual complainers about their parents, and everybody says, yeah, everybody's got those daily complaints about something, but
extrapolate the best features that you could, that you think are designed to make you a better person, and use that. You know, I think that's the best way, because the onus is really on us as adults to decide for ourselves what our parents gave us that was healthy and what wasn't healthy. I mean, there's a lot of things my mother gave me that was wonderful. Two Aquarians being on board here today, wonderful humanitarians. They are just
unbelievable.
They really are wonderful people, and I got, I think, my best social skills from that woman, and my ability to look at everybody as a one, as not as any different culture, faith. I got that from her. Now, the other side of two Aquarians, and I'm not putting you two in this loop, is they are colder people, and I was not. No.
Love that word, cold.
No.
I had an Aquarian child.
What I'm saying, for a young Scorpio, for a young Scorpio child that needs to be, to have physical demonstrative of love. You need
what my mother gave me is what you needed.
That's what I needed.
My mother suffocated me. My mother suffocated me. Told me how much she loved me, kissed me, hugged me. And I don't like that.
Not that my mother didn't say she, but you know what
no,
I'm saying.
No, you know what I'm saying. But my mother, she would have been a perfect mother for you.
I need a choice.
That she would have been a perfect mother
Elise,
for you.
Elise,
but it's
okay.
funny, they call
I'll
that terms of endearment. You know, it's like one of the terms of being, what you just said, Elise, reminded me, is like one of the terms of being in a relationship. If you think to the movie, it's terms of endearment.
And
like,
exactly.
Yeah, you get my love, you get my relationship. But the cost of that to you is this, and face it, nobody can push your buttons better than your mom, and probably nobody can push your mom's buttons better than you can.
Exactly.
You know, it's a very intense
turbulent
dynamic.
Relationship. Yeah, it's very always like that. What were you saying, Mira?
I'm saying, so you said that your mother was basically choking you and
suffocating
you, hugging and kissing. Mm-hmm. And on my end, the first time my mom hugged me was around 10 years ago.
Wow.
And I'm 49
awesome.
Years old. I'm 49 years old. And she hugged
that's
me.
That's hard.
And I'm like,
you felt
and
no
like,
love
ooh.
At all.
Wow.
It was, yeah. So.
yeah, that's.
Are
that
you
is,
a hugger
you
yourself?
Now? Who's crying?
I just. Who?
It sounded like somebody was crying.
No.
But
well, but
I
mean, that's a moment
people.
To shed a tear. But
that's why I'm asking.
Yes.
That's
no,
that's intense.
Yeah.
I don't remember if she told me she loves me or not, but I think the hugging came with you know, I love you, and I'm like, ooh, too late for that. I felt like repulsed because my resentment towards her is both emotionally and physically. I can't even explain it. It's just, I know it sounds horrible, but I guess
but
this
you know
is
what
happens
you
when
became
you
a normal
so
human
much.
Being.
Yeah. I guess that's what happened when you carry so much on you. And like I said, she never changed. She's the same person. So I basically get to experience her now as a child and as an adult. And obviously, I'm less approving as an adult because I'm a mother now and I can see how things can be. So I'm the one, well, I'm not mothering my kids, but constantly loves and hugs and kisses and I love you.
Oh, that's
you.
Good,
and it,
though.
Yeah.
It's not coming because I'm trying to, you know,
not
it,
be
it,
your
it
mother.
Comes to me natural. Yeah, I'm exactly the opposite. Mm. Like, I'm polar opposite than her. And one thing also, we were talking about, you know, kids think of their parents as superheroes or you know, godly. I remember the first thing I did with my kids, I just showed them, you know, that I'm vulnerable and I make mistakes, and when I make a mistake I say I'm sorry. Just to I just want them to see that I'm a normal person. I'm like
you're
them
human.
Because
you're a human.
Yeah. Yes. Because I don't want them, you know, one day, you know, something happened and all their dreams and hopes and views of me are shattered, you know. So, listen, one thing.
You sound like an amazing mom.
Thank you so much.
You sound like an amazing mother. You really do.
Yeah.
So, and that's what I wanted to say. Like, at least the good thing that came up from my relationship with my mom is this: I learned what not to do. You know, people constantly say, oh, this is what I learned from my parents to do. Okay, so I learned what not to do with my kids.
Right.
And I made those resolutions very early in my life. I'm like, I knew.
My mother was big on the Jewish guilt. The Jewish guilt. And that's one thing I would never, ever do to my daughter. Like, she wasn't coming home this weekend. I wasn't going to give her the guilt trip. Oh, I can't believe it. You know, it's one day a year. And all. I said, all right, you stay put. Do what you got to do. And that's it. I would never put a guilt trip on her at all.
No, because you want her to come on her own wheel.
Exactly. I don't want any favors from nobody. If you love me, you're going to come on your own time. And that's that. You know, I know she loves me. It's not because she couldn't come.
Of course.
But no guilt trip.
I think that's the ticket of being the best mother that we can be in this generation. We are taught, I know for myself, I'm trying to take the best of what I learned growing up and leave the worst. And I don't know, maybe our mothers weren't encouraged to be as outspoken as we are or as brave as we are. Maybe they weren't as involved as we are in their generation.
Definitely.
I think, you know, I think that we're luckier in that sense. But I try to do the same thing. I take the very best of my mother and the other stuff. I also say, well, that really hurt me or that screwed me up. I'm going to make sure I don't do that to my kid. You know, and we do the best that we can. You know, and to say you're sorry shows that you're human. You know, and sometimes we attract partners, if I may say. I don't mean to keep going, but my mom held grudges, and she wouldn't talk to me for a week, you know, or my dad.
Really? And,
you know, as an adolescent, I didn't tell her about the show because she's so sensitive. She was such a great mom, but it would kill her to hear negative things.
I'm sorry,
anyway,
I get it. No, of course.
I attracted a partner that doesn't hold a grudge longer than a minute. He forgets what happened. And it's almost as if I attract people in my life that help to heal the things that happen to me.
Wow, that's healthy.
Right?
That's
and
like so
that,
good.
I love
Instead
that.
Of repeating
I
a negative
that.
Pattern. That's great.
Yes.
That's beautiful.
Because then it helps me to be a better family, a cycle. And so, you know, that's something else. When you said that you were a hugger and that you were a real demonstrative with affection, I was so pleased to hear that. Because it means, you know, we don't want to repeat cycles. And a lot of times some cycles get repeated. But I do think that we're more evolved and we're supported more or maybe we're stronger. But whatever the case, it means that we're excelling. And that's fantastic.
Well,
that makes me
happy. What do you guys think about, you know, how the Smothers Brothers were like, mom loved you best, no, mom loved you best and stuff. What do you, you know, there's a almost a stereotype of people going to a shrink for like years and years and years talking about how, you know, my mom never loved me, my dad never, you know, I mean, I think, what are your opinions on it? Because I think to a point it's good to resolve and work it through, but then again, you have to kind of step up and put it in perspective and not use it as an excuse, do more what you were able to do, which is like heal, you know, and
well,
attract partners who are
going
to help you with those issues.
I think you first need to know what the issue is, or if you do have the same issue, and how do you, you know, if am I using it in my everyday life? If I'm not, you know, then I'm doing okay. If not, then I have to work on it and to break that, you know, cycle that really didn't work in your life.
But, you know, I again, I always approach this with caution because I'm not a parent. I think that there has to be, as a human being, I don't think any mother would love one child more than the other, but I think that just as a human being,
there's always going to be a little favoritism.
That's what I'm saying, a soul that you connect with more.
Right.
Not that you love that child more, but there's some sort of simpatico that you have with this child.
It's a different love.
That's
right.
It has to
be a different love because it's a different person.
That's exactly
right. You can't love them equally because...
Yeah.
Yeah, they're different people, so you love them differently. So I never went into the more or less.
Right.
I always
of course not. You love them all the same.
Different. No, I don't. It's different. It's
different
love. I can't. I feel like I'm almost comparing apples to oranges.
Yeah, it's totally.
Right.
I can't compare. It doesn't mean that if they're my kids, I ought to love them the same. I can't. They're different people. So I love them differently, and I think it's a sin to compare. It's not fair to yourself. It's not fair for your kids. You just love them. You love them as they are. Obviously, sometimes you connect with one over the other on different levels because it's a personality thing, but it's not a love level.
Mm-hmm.
But to Patty's point, it's the perception of the other child that has to be addressed. Because now, I'll tell you right out, when I was growing up, my mother was a single parent, and she certainly favored my brother. And it was my perception of that I carried. And now realizing that she felt there were more needs to be available to him, being there wasn't a father in the family. So she definitely saw it as, well, you know, he's a boy. I have to make sure that I'm more available to him because there's one parent missing. Not thinking that a girl's relationship with a father is very, very impactful on her development, too.
Mm-hmm.
But
absolutely.
Right, but again, this was 1962, so, you know, nobody has the data they do now. But my perception of it was, oh, she loves him more. I don't
You know, I had that conversation with my mother at one point I saw that she was, you know, being different with my brother, my older brother and my younger sister, and, you know, more lenient with them and you know, not as harsh or critical with them and so forth. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I was like, what am I, chopped liver? You know, I got better grades and you don't say anything. And I had called her on it one time and I said, how come, you know, you do this and this with them and you do this with me? And she goes, well, you're different than them. I have to treat you differently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, I mean, she spelled out where she goes, things come easier for you and blah, blah, and I have to, it's almost like she's saying, I have to sit on you more because you're a wild card.
Yeah.
But it didn't make it feel any better, you
know?
No, of course not. No, because you don't understand it as a child. You only understand it once you become a parent yourself.
Exactly.
Yeah.
There's certain things, and you know what, I tell my kids, you know, sometimes I tell them certain things and they don't get why they should listen or do what I tell them. I said, listen, you will just, one day you'll understand, and I know how much you hate when I say it because you really want to understand. Just trust me that I want your best.
Yeah, they'll have the aha moment.
Yes, one day you'll get it, but just please trust me that I know what I'm saying, you know?
Yeah. So before we wrap up, I want to go around the table. Best Mother's Day memories that you have. It could be with your own children. It could be something with your mother. It could be something that doesn't even relate to you with your mother. Mira, go first.
Oh, I'm actually kind of like, you know, for me, I'm a little bit a newbie to it, even though my parenting years are in the United States. I came here from Israel 23 years ago, and it was not something that we celebrated as much as it's been celebrated here. So I don't give it, and excuse me all, I don't give it as much importance as everybody else because for me, every day is Mother's Day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I hear you.
So usually I'm trying not to go out.
Yeah, well.
You know, because everybody are out and about.
Everybody's out.
It's just, you know, it's just spending time, you know, with the family and, you know, and I almost feel like it's more for the kids than me because my kids are American.
Exactly.
Right now there's nothing that stands out in particular, but like I said, every day for me is a Mother's Day. I feel blessed, and I think it's something that I carry with me 24/7.
Amen. Beautiful. Winter, what about you?
I think my daughter's first birthday fell on Mother's Day for her first birthday, and it was probably the most wonderful Mother's Day for me because I think I was at my most joyful moment in my life with my own mother because I was a mother. I think she's an exceptional grandmother, and both my grandmothers were alive.
and everybody came to my house. Everybody was together. My mother's relationship with her own mother was at that time very strong. I think because of my kid, there was something that changed our dynamic for the better. And I just remember that joyous feeling of celebrating my daughter's first birthday, of being mom's first Mother's Day, and these generations of mothers feeling very loving. It was a very beautiful day. So that was
nice.
Beautiful.
That is nice.
Very nice.
Patty, what about you?
You know, it's not an actual Mother's Day memory, but it was like one of the nicest times. I mean, it just comes to mind when I think about good times with my mom, and because she had a great sense of humor, and and could be very playful. And I just remember going to some department store with her, and we were trying on every ridiculous hat we could find, just trying to, like, you know, and we were like on the floor rolling around, making a scene, laughing, and it was such a spontaneous and joyful and, you know, unself-conscious. My mother is typically very conservative, so it was just so much fun to go out and play together like that. That's a memory that sticks with me.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Aww.
Well, thank you, ladies.
You guys were great.
Yeah, and for sharing.
Great stories.
I mean, great stories, brave stories, honest stories.
Yeah.
And
you still all turned out to be great women.
Wonderful people. and that's really it. And so thank all their moms. And those who are moms, you're doing a great job. And that's all we could want for the world. Really all we could want. So next month, same time, ladies, yeah?
Look forward.
Thank you
so nice.
Is it next month is going to be for Father's Day?
Oh, I'm sure we'll have something. We'll have something to say about that.
No, I have material for that too.
Okay. Hold on to it.
Thank you again, Patricia, Winter, Mirov. Thank you very much.
You guys are great.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Nice
it was great.
Have a good day.
See you next month, ladies.
Take care, ladies.
Bye-bye.
Care.
Bye.
Wonderful. That you know what, it's so funny when I first read Patty's piece, I thought of the John
heavy.
Lennon song.
Heavy.
Because mother, just like, and he's just really, and his mother died. His mother, he was raised by his aunt, his mother's sister. That's the story. And he was just starting to cultivate a relationship with his mother. He became very close with her. And one day she was visiting him, and she left, and she got hit by a car and died.
Oh,
when he was 16. So that, yeah, and the song Julia is about his mother on the White Album.
Wow.
So he was just becoming a son to her. And they had, I think, maybe 2 years of a wonderful relationship. And she was leaving him and she, right in front of his aunt's house where he was living. She got hit by a car and died. So the song Mother is just like, you know, I love you, I want you, but you left me, and, you know. You don't quite get over that, but yeah, that's what I got from that one.
Hmm.
And I'm glad that everybody came on and shared. And
great show.
Great show. And a show we got to pay for, Baby Doll.
Yeah.
Baby Doll Face.
Ooh.
Getting off the estrogen and onto testosterone. What magazine do we love, Late?
Muscle Sport
magazine. Let me tell you something.
After all this time, I remember the name.
You do. You know what? I always live in fear of asking get the font.
Right.
Shoot, give me that font.
I always forget.
But I remember it now. Muscle Sport magazine. Let me tell you something. Does your mother work out? Then this is what you should do.
I thought you were asking me.
No. may her soul rest in peace.
Yeah.
My mother did work out.
Yeah.
But if your mother works out and she's serious about it, you might want to get her this magazine. www.musclesportmag. It's cheap. It's full of content, and that's really what you want. Because the lovely Leeds Eagleman and I, when we started out, when we were knee high to a grasshopper, and we were reading everything we could get our hands on about what to do here, compound sets, blood pyramiding. We needed to know
everything.
The facts.
Yeah.
We didn't need to know about amino acids and supplements.
Powders
and,
like that.
And
all
that.
We
didn't need to know that. So this is what you want to give your mom if you want to make her,
or just
dad.
A gift for yourself.
For yourself. 12. I mean, really, it's just worth it. $32 a year. Don't tell me you don't have that. Don't tell me you don't have it. Because if you don't have $32 a year, get a second job.
Seriously.
Or advance your education so you can ask for a raise. You got to do something for yourself. And it's Muscle Sport Mag. www.musclesport.com. And speaking of the ladies,
New York State Women.
Incorporated.
That's
a nice little jail. I don't think they'll buy it. Woo. We will be at their tea party on
Everybody's
Sunday.
Invited if
Everybody
you'd like to come and meet us.
Down to a tea party. Yeah, we're just going to get sworn. Are we getting sworn in this week, Alicia?
If, yeah, but, you know, again, I don't know the address offhand, but if you email us or
you can
write
email
us on
or
our,
you know what? Why don't we put it on our page tomorrow?
Yeah, we'll put it on our
if
page.
If you want to come to a tea party, you're more than welcome.
Yeah.
And we will be going up to the name that I can't pronounce. Wait a second.
Tea.
Binghamton. I got it, Lee.
For tea.
No, I'm not going to. Lee, did you hear what I did?
I heard you.
Binghamton. See, this is why you're like my mother. I get no satisfaction from you. I get no praise. That's right.
There's your praise.
Cold.
There's
cold.
Your praise.
It's that an Aquarian. That's amazing.
Praise.
But New York State Women Incorporated, they do wonderful things all over the many boroughs. There are chapters every place, and they do wonderful things for women. And on that note, I'd like to thank the woman to my left.
Thank you.
The lovely Lee Ziegelman.
Thank you.
For joining me, riding shotgun, mm-hmm. and making it a smooth trip. Mm-hmm.
Thank you to Lori Towers.
Okay, what
How's
else?
That?
What else? Nothing? Nothing?
It's good.
Beyond that?
No.
Ah, okay. See, this is okay.
Lori Towers says it all.
Give me my
sweater. Says it
sweater.
All.
Give me my sweater. Yeah.
Say goodbye, Gracie.
And go out, make it a good week. Do something.
Make it a good year.
Nice for yourself. I mean, just even if you just have to do it in one day.
That's all.
Just be good to each other. Take care of each other. Do something nice for the planet. Give somebody a smile when they don't have one. I mean, simple things. It's little gestures that make life worthwhile. And we will see you here next week. And go out and make it a lovely day. Nina, take us home.
You got it.